Hello, let's do it again. It's time to improve your American English skills. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today we have two stories for you, presented at a slower speed and with words that are easy to understand. First, we have some interesting information about the economy of Indonesia. Some experts say the East Asian country will soon become a trillion-dollar economy. We'll have details. Then we will tell you about something new from the world of art. It's a trip to the American West Coast to hear how some people are using something unusual to create special objects. Let's get started with part one. IHS Global Insight studies economic conditions around the world. The company believes that in 2 years, Indonesia will become Asia's latest trillion-dollar economy. Its reason? A jump in the gross domestic product, or GDP, the total value of goods and services produced within a country. IHS Global Insight predicts that by 2023, Indonesia's GDP will double to $2 trillion. It also thinks Indonesia's GDP will rise to $3 trillion by 2028. The company expects Indonesia will have a larger gross domestic product than Russia by 2021. It says Indonesia's expanding middle class will make the country the largest market for consumer goods in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. IHS Global Insight Chief Economist Rajiv Biswas spoke with VOA's Victor Beatty about Indonesian President Joko Widodo, also known as Jokowi. Mr. Biswas noted how the president launched a major program to improve his country's power supplies, roads, and other infrastructure.
That has been very much part of his election platform, and in his early months of office, it's clear that he has a strong focus on that. And that's something that Indonesia very much needs. Indonesia is one of the Asian economies that's relatively underdeveloped in terms of infrastructure.
Rajiv Biswas says the spending on ports, roads, and public services will help to fuel Indonesia's economic growth. The current growth rate is 5% a year, but it was about 6.5% a few years ago. Mr. Biswas says the government debt-to-GDP rate is low for Indonesia when compared to past rates. He says the former government did a very good job in reducing government debt levels. Early in his administration, President Joko Widodo announced cuts in government fuel subsidies. For years, the Indonesian government had used public spending to keep fuel prices low. The decision to cut subsidies was unpopular, but Rajiv Biswas says it helped the economy.
The fuel subsidy reform was very, very important because it was a heavy drain on their government expenditure in a rather unproductive form of just giving fuel subsidies to the entire population. They will also be able to divert a lot of that money that would have been spent on fuel subsidies towards infrastructure development, which is much more productive in the long term for the economy.
Rajiv Biswas says automobile sales have jumped over the past 5 to 7 years because of a rise in pay among Indonesia's middle class. He expects to see a pickup in auto sales if the economy can grow at a rate of 6 to 7% a year. He adds that Indonesia still rates low on the World Bank's Ease of Doing Business Index. He says the country needs to increase manufacturing exports and create jobs. IHS Global Insight reports that more than 2 million young people are joining the Indonesian labor force each year. It says continued job growth is necessary to avoid the risk of social unrest. Yet the company estimates total per person GDP in Indonesia will rise from $3,400 this year to around $8,700 by 2025. It says this might give the Indonesian government a greater voice in international financial organizations, and possibly the group of five nations known as BRICS. The five are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. You are listening to VOA, the voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Trash and garbage are other words for waste, things that people no longer want or need. In San Francisco, they are also words for art. A local recycling company called Recology created a program to give artists the opportunity to reuse unwanted objects. Artists are paid to work for 4 months on transforming things like old tires, toys, and paint. Marcia James is our tour guide.
Ma Lee is one of the artists at the center. She is working on a project that includes plastic bottles, cardboard tubes, and cloth. Ma Lee is turning them into a moving sculpture with stars, flowing air, and dancers. Miss Lee says she learned recycling from her parents while growing up in China in the 1980s. It was a time when the country was poorer and more concerned about saving money than it is today. San Francisco artist Michael Arcega works with recycled wood and old leather belts, all saved from the garbage.
My project is based on pseudo-anthropological research on the people of the Nasirima.
Michael Arcega explains that Nasirima is American spelled backwards. His artwork shows what he says is the wasteful culture of the American people. Still, he says, looking through the trash is not easy. It is hard to separate what is useful and what is really garbage. A gallery in Los Angeles is displaying some of the art from the San Francisco project. The show includes pictures made from pieces of labels, sculptures from old metal, and saws that have been cut to look like trees. Each year, more than 5,000 children and adults visit shows created by the artists. They also attend educational tours that allow the public to talk to the artists and learn important lessons about recycling. Los Angeles gallery owner Liz Gordon says artists have a history of recycling.
People who didn't have the resources to be able to go out and buy supplies found supplies and have been using found object and assemblage for many, many years.
Artist Ma Lee says these artworks have a message.
So everyone can come together to actually make little change in their daily life and behavior to actually try to...